I think the title of a book should give some indication of its subject matter, don't you? Well, that is not always the case. I want to talk to you about a book of the Bible which is named in such a way as to reveal only partially the full scope of its contents. The fifth book of the New Testament is called the Acts of the Apostles. Now, God did not name it. Men did. And the name was probably based on the statement in chapter 1, verse 2, that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. The rest of the book reports the activities of those apostles and other disciples in obedience to Jesus' command. Yet, in a larger sense, the fifth book of the New Testament could also be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, for it deals with the acts of the apostles under the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. There are more than 50 references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. He is seen baptizing, filling, guiding, empowering, illuminating, and otherwise making the witnesses of Jesus Christ sufficient to the task demanded of them. A study of the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is very rewarding. Now, there are no less than 5 references to the Holy Spirit in the first chapter of the book of Acts. So let us review those references in the next 5 studies we share together. Acts chapter 1, verse 2 introduces the subject of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ. It reads, in part, "He was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, why did Jesus give commandments to his chosen apostles through the Holy Spirit? The answer must be that everything Jesus did during his incarnate ministry on earth was done through the Holy Spirit with whom the Father had anointed him. Jesus experienced a great change when he came into the world to live in a human body. The Bible expresses it this way: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 reports that Jesus emptied himself in his incarnation. Now, the King James Version reads, "He made himself of no reputation," but the meaning is, "He emptied himself." Now, what does that expression mean? First, it means that while retaining the fullness of his divine nature, the Son of God voluntarily gave up the manifestations, the insignia of his majesty. He voluntarily veiled his pre-incarnate glory so that men could look upon him. As the sun in an eclipse is the same as shining in its brilliance, so the Son of God was fullest deity even while his glory was veiled in human flesh. Second, it means he gave up the independent exercise of his divine attributes as second person of Holy Trinity and submitted himself wholly to the will of God. Everything he did during his incarnate ministry on earth was done by the command of God through the power of the Spirit of God. And third, it means he became a man. In the form of man, he had the essence, attributes, and characteristics of a human being. In the likeness of man, he had the appearance of a human. In the fashion of man, he experienced all the experiences of humans: fatigue, hunger, work, joy, temptation. Now, that is why Jesus gave commandments through the Holy Spirit to the disciples whom he had chosen. Every aspect of his life and work during his incarnate ministry on earth was done by the will of the Father and through the agency of the Spirit. Now, consider this list of things which the Bible mentions as manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus the Christ. First, the Holy Spirit foretold the coming of the Christ. Genesis 3:15 told of a son of the woman who would come to bruise the head of the serpent, while Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 reports that God sent forth his Son made of a woman. Isaiah 7:14 foretold the conception of a virgin whose child would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23 quotes that prophecy as being fulfilled in the virgin conception and birth of Jesus. Isaiah 11, verse 1 and following foretold that the Spirit of God would rest upon the Messiah. And Jesus declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, since all Scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, those passages record the work of the Holy Spirit foretelling the coming of the Christ. Second, the Holy Spirit effected the incarnation and virgin conception by which Jesus was born. When Mary asked the angel how she could conceive and bear a child, the reply was, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee." Now, two times Matthew reported, "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Now, Mary's conception was a creative miracle performed by the Holy Spirit. Third, the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus for his messianic ministry. For upon his baptism at the hands of John the Baptist, Jesus saw the heavens open, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and remaining on him, and heard the voice of the Father from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now from henceforth Jesus could say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." Now here is the explanation of what happened. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now the very term Christ means anointed and refers to God's anointing of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Fourth, the Holy Spirit sealed Jesus as God's Messiah. Jesus spoke of himself as him whom the Father has sealed. Now the term seal means to prove by one's testimony to a person that he is what he professes to be. And God the Father bore witness to Jesus that he is forever the Son of God. He is sealed, identified by God as the Savior of men. Fifth, the Holy Spirit indwelt Jesus during his incarnate ministry. Once and again, Jesus made statements like these, "The Father is in me, and I in him," or "Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me." The Spirit of the Lord resting upon him made his body the temple of God, so that Jesus said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." Sixth, the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus for his ministry. Acts 10:38 reports how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He cast out demons by the Spirit of God. He taught the words given him of God. Everything he did was under the purpose and power of God. Jesus said, "The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do." Seven, the Holy Spirit led Jesus. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to face temptation and returned in the power of the Spirit to begin his public ministry. Since as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the only begotten Son was specially led of God. Eight, the Holy Spirit sanctified his sacrifice for sins. Hebrews 9:14 reports that through the eternal Spirit, Jesus offered himself without spot to God. Jesus carried the guilt of sin. The Father turned away from him in an act of judgment, but the Spirit made the sacrifice effective for man's redemption. And nine, the Holy Spirit communicated Jesus' commands to his disciples. Now that is the truth mentioned in Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Jesus commands to go into all the world to make disciples, to teach all nations, to preach the gospel to every creature, to preach repentance and remission of sins, and to be witnesses unto him, is as personal today as if they were spoken just now to us. His commands are real to us because they are communicated to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is our example in his relationship with the Spirit of God. Every movement of his life by thought or will or action was governed by the Spirit. He made himself totally available to God, and God gave the Spirit unto him without measure. Let's follow the example of him who could truthfully say, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." That can be the testimony of one who is Spirit prepared, Spirit equipped, and Spirit sent. That is the example of Jesus Christ.